on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Akilah Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the Taoiseach has been challenged to meet with the children from Mica-affected homes who are protesting today outside Leinster House. Meanwhile, Micheál Martin has accused Sinn Féin of being self-righteous over the Mica scandal. A Midlands Northwest MEP is critical of the government's reopening plans, and the Justice Minister in the North is being urged to carry out a review of legislation as it's claimed five people had their drinks spiked in Derry. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have all the latest in sport coming up with Oisin Kelly at about 5:15. First in news though, waiting a few more weeks for a Mica redress scheme is acceptable if it means it will be right. That's according to the Agriculture Minister, who spoke to 50 children from across Donegal today. The children were protesting at the gates of Leinster House, calling for 100% redress. Charlie McConlogue is expecting to see the final scheme in the next 2 to 3 weeks.
I'm hoping for it in the next couple of weeks, and that's my objective. But as I say, my absolute focus is that it's the right scheme, and that it delivers the full and proper support. That's because we're going to have this scheme in place for many, many years. So, you know, a week or two isn't going to be the critical thing here in terms of the next number of years. It's the scheme being right, and that's my absolute focus.
Well, in the Dáil this afternoon, Donegal Deputy Padraig McLaughlin challenged the Taoiseach to meet with the children from Mica-affected homes who were protesting outside Leinster House. He also called on Micheál Martin to correct the record after he claimed he was not invited by organisers to meet with the children who are making the round trip from Donegal today.
It's a pity the Taoiseach is leaving the chamber right now. He might take the opportunity to go out and meet the children. They've been waiting for him the last hour and a half. I want to make a clear statement. Cian Corder disappointed he didn't get the chance. He's left the chamber. The Taoiseach alleged that he wasn't invited to meet protesters. He was sent an email along with other ministers. He clearly was invited. He chose not to attend. So hopefully he'll correct the record.
Meanwhile, earlier the Taoiseach accused Sinn Féin of being self-righteous over the Mica scandal. Micheál Martin says while Sinn Féin are banging the drum now, there wasn't one mention of a Mica redress scheme in the party's 2020 election manifesto. There's been a heated debate in the Dáil today over what form the scheme will take and if the government will grant 100% redress. Answering questions from Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou MacDonald, the Taoiseach accused the party of recreating the narrative and of peddling fake news.
You don't continually to present misinformation to the House. You just said there that you designed the scheme. I designed no scheme. The last government designed the scheme.
And you have nothing which, to do with
which
that.
You, no, because we were not in government. No, yeah, and you keep peddling the untruth. You keep peddling the fake news, the populism.
Answer the question.
And it's all for political ends and electoral ends, and I'm going to, every time you do it, I will stop you in your tracks and say, stop peddling disinformation. I did not design any scheme, and you know that. And I think you should acknowledge that. Through the chair, you should acknowledge that and keep to the truth. The last scheme was prepared in good faith by the last government, which was welcomed by you at the time. No, the scheme has to change. The mechanisms for implementing a proper, you know, in terms of certification, like the residents that I met put very good issues to me at the time in terms of upfront costs, in terms of rental, if they were out of their homes when the houses have been refurbished. Also in terms of certification, so that if there was a remedial work done, that if something happened in 10 years' time, or 50, that they would be covered. All of these are very legitimate issues. And that's the kind of engagement that has taken place between the owners and the minister. And the minister, Brian, will come to the party leaders, and the government will then take a decision in that.
63 deaths related to COVID-19 have been reported to the Department of Health over the past week. 2,148 new cases have been detected, while there's 464 people in hospital. 86 people with the virus are being treated in ICU. Professor Philip Nolan is NPHET's chief modelling advisor. He's compared the case numbers and admissions to hospitals between the first half of this year and the second half so far.
So we've had 79% the number of cases notified but only 55% the number of hospitalizations. So you're seeing there the additional protection of vaccination. If you become infected, it offers an additional protection against being needing to be hospitalized. We had 45% the number of admissions to ICU and only 15% the deaths. So there does seem to be an additional protection.
A Midlands North West MEP is critical of the government's reopening plans. Nightclubs are set to reopen on Friday at full capacity, but cultural venues must observe extra restrictions. MEP Maria Walsh says the differences are unfair. She says other European countries are fully open to late night culture and the same should be happening in Ireland.
We need to show trust in that sector. By having other elements opened up, like restaurants and some bars, that's simply not good enough. When you look across the European Union, you know, you see the likes of Copenhagen and Paris, that nightclubs are fully opened. Irish nightclub scenes, Irish late night, Irish institutions must be scratching their head, and why wouldn't they? So it's important that we quickly catch up here.
Meanwhile, the director of Ungrain and Theatre, Letterkenny, says there needs to be a common sense approach to drawing up new guidelines for live venues. It's after the government admitted the further reopening of society is proving more complicated than they would like. There's a lot of confusion about what is allowed and what enforcement measures will be needed. Director of Ungrain and Theatre, Patricia McBride, told Greg Hughes today that there is much confusion and frustration surrounding the reopening.
We can only interpret the guidelines as we get them. And, you know, we act in everybody's safety, with everyone's safety at heart, the public, the staff, the artists that are using our building. But unfortunately, I feel that these anomalies in the guidelines just lead to confusion, not just frustration, and what someone would see as kind of, you know, a prejudice against a particular type of event, but it genuinely leads to confusion within the public as well. If one set of guidelines exists in one place, I think that they need to be equally applied throughout. You know, given that there are different scenarios, but there needs to be a common sense approach.
Well, the Arts Minister says she's confident there will be a solution on reopening the nightclub and live events sector in the next 24 hours. Talks between government officials and industry representatives are ongoing to address confusion over the regulations. Promoters say many gigs will have to be cancelled if indoor concerts have to be fully seated. Minister Catherine Martin hopes the issue can be sorted out shortly.
I guess my message to those in engagement and to promoters, to venues, to musicians, bear with us for another 24 hours. I am confident that we will have a solution.
The Bishop of Raphoe has said they will proceed with caution as it relates to the lifting of restrictions on religious services. The limit on the number of people allowed to attend weddings has been removed as part of a curtailed easing of COVID-19 measures. Capacity limits at religious ceremonies have also been removed, but all other protective measures at the gatherings remain in place. Bishop Al McGuckian says that in reality, it won't mean a full return for all parishes.
Well, what it specifically says about religious services is religious services and weddings can proceed without capacity limits, but with all other protective measures remaining in place. And that will be different for maybe every place. You know, I was talking to one priest yesterday whose capacity with social distancing, and that's one of the protective measures, isn't much over 50. And therefore, in order to proceed with caution, which obviously is the spirit of this thing and what we would want anyway, there'll have to be some kind of local approach where people understand that they can't have huge crowds in that small church.
The Health Minister says he believes there's a strong case for offering healthcare workers a booster vaccine. Stephen Donnelly added that he would like to see NIAC give the green light to a booster campaign for frontline staff. Earlier today, the Higher Education Minister, Simon Harris, admitted he was surprised such a campaign was not already in place. Health Minister Stephen Donnelly says he'll keep in close contact with NIAC in relation to healthcare workers.
I believe there is a strong case for it. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of confidence in the process that's in place. I think NIAC, chaired by Professor Butler, have done an excellent job. I think they continue to do an excellent job. So we've a lot to be getting on with now. We've just got advice on 60 and above, so that's 800,000 or more men and women. And we will keep in very close contact with NIAC in relation to healthcare workers as well.
The Justice Minister in the North is being urged to carry out a review of legislation as it's claimed five people had their drinks spiked in Derry. A mother raised awareness this week after her daughter told her of the alleged incidents, which are believed to have happened in a bar in the city over the weekend. She also claims her daughter was spiked in a city centre bar in May of this year. There's also concern over a new type of spiking where victims are injected with a substance which renders them unconscious. Councillor Rachel Ferguson says there are many incidents that also go unreported.
And this isn't something that we see across the board anywhere, that we hear of women and young girls and men being spiked on a night out, and usually it does go unreported, and that's kind of why I've been highlighting it. I know this one incident, the family was a young girl and she actually reported it, but she's aware that, you know, she says some of her friends were also allegedly spiked on the same night, but that's gone unreported.
So can you tell us what she described as happening and how she felt and her recollections or lack thereof, or what how this affected her, Rachel?
So she had only had a couple of drinks and she'd gone into the new bar and went to the bathroom with her friend, and she ended up collapsing on the bathroom floor, which is why an ambulance was called. Now, when the ambulance came, she was back round, was able to talk, and they took her over to get checked over, and she was home later on that night. But it was pretty scary, and only by the fact that she was with a friend, that she wasn't left in a vulnerable state, you know, which is really, really, which is worrying whenever you hear other people may have gone unreported. What happened to them? Did they get home safe okay? There's a number of different signs to look out for. You know, if you black out, that's the most extreme. If you feel nauseous at all, if you have short-term memory loss, if you are confused, have any kind of hallucinations or your altered perception of time. It's not the only case. I've heard so many times where girls have, you know, lost time and they've just thought, oh, maybe it's I've had too much to drink, and they don't want to worry people, so they don't report it. They don't think it's suspicious.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny, where the Christmas Club is now open. Shop online 24/7 at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Time now for all the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We start with Gaelic Games. The President and Director General of the GAA have both been given their backing to Proposal B at Special Congress. Delegates will vote on Saturday on the proposed changes to the Football Championship, where a 60% majority of the 183 delegates is required for either proposal to be adopted. Director General Tom Ryan offered his view on Proposal B today.
As a purely personal perspective, I think if you're looking at what you'd like to see the characteristics of a football championship have, two of the things to my mind would be teams playing against teams of their own level, and you have a finite number of games, and you have a definite start and end, and teams are, that get to the same stage of a competition have played the same number of matches, and B does that.
Well, Donegal manager Declan Bonner is swaying towards the B plan, but has a lot of concerns over the future of the Ulster Championship.
I like a lot about the proposal B, but you know, in terms of the league and playing high-profile matches and in the summertime, a lot of competitive championship matches, yeah, it looks good. But where does the provincial championship fit? Something's going to have to give. While us in Ulster, I mean, Ulster's such an important competition. There's a lot of really strong teams in that province. But for me, probably the proposal B, probably they're looking at some change. Yeah, it'll probably go to proposal B, but maybe some tweaking on that, you know.
And there's more from Declan on the Congress proposals. It's available now in the sports section of HighlandRadio.com. We also speak to Declan today about Stephen Rochford remaining with the county for the next year's head coach, and we get his views as well on this weekend's club championship semi-finals. That interview in full is available now online on our website. Going to soccer, and they're into the closing minutes in this afternoon's Europa League group game in Moscow, where Leicester City have made the long trip and are playing away from home, where currently they are in front against Spartak Moscow, leading by 4-2. Now, Moscow were 2-0 up in that game by the 44th minute, but Leicester replied with 4 goals coming from Patson Daka. Now, Moscow have just scored with 4 minutes remaining to make it a 4-3 game. The home side not out of it yet, but a cracking game there in the Europa League, and a big performance today by Patson Daka. Saka of Leicester City. Manchester United will be without both Raphael Varane and Anthony Martial for their Champions League clash this evening with Atalanta. Going into the game, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's side have lost four of their last seven matches. Kickoff for the Group F tie is at 8 o'clock. Also tonight, Chelsea host Malmo from 8. The holders can move to the top of Group H with a win. Former Roma boss Paulo Fonseca has emerged as one of the main contenders for the manager's job at Newcastle United. Steve Bruce was relieved of his duties today after more than 2 years in charge. The 60-year-old has said that the toll of the job that has taken on him means that this will be his last management job in football. Mick McCarthy's Cardiff City go into tonight's championship game against Fulham after six consecutive losses. That match gets underway at 7:45. Also this evening, West Brom can close the gap on Bournemouth at the top of the table to 3 points with a win against Swansea. Finn Harp's battle to stay out of the bottom two sees the Balbafay side this weekend take on Sligo Rovers in the derby at Finn Park. Harps currently sit just above Waterford by a single point, while Sligo also require points as they look to hold on to a European place. Harps boss Ollie Horgan knows that the bit of red will make it difficult to score on Saturday.
You know, you don't want to be up in third of the table without quality, without strength. I think they have the second best defensive record with Ed McGinty in the back four that gave them a great foundation to go and kick on into a European spot. Yeah, they've been three tight games. I think they're all a goal difference in them. We're just hoping it'll be tight on Friday that or Saturday, then that'll give you a chance to get a result in it. But we need to improve a hell of a lot from what way we played in Wallace.
In boxing, it seems Jason Quigley's world title fight with Demetrius Andrade in New Hampshire, USA on the 19th of November could be pushing towards an Irish Donegal home crowd. The Twin Towns middlemate met with the national press today in Dublin, and his promotion team told the gathered journalists that ticket sales were being snapped up by the Irish living on the East Coast. Jason is hopeful that support will play a role in him becoming a world champion. He says he's treating the big occasion just like another fight.
I think I'm at the perfect stage in my life and in my career to deal with this type of a situation. I'm not the young kid now that I was, living in the whole excitement of fighting for a world title. Of course, inside I'm excited, I'm looking forward to it, but at the end of the day, this is just another fight for me. Like, you know, of course there's a lot more on the line, but in terms of my outlook and my focus towards this fight, this is just another fight. I'm just getting in there, training my absolute ass off in the gym, getting in there to get that W. But getting that W will mean so much more in this fight than it would in any other fight. So there's obviously certain bits of excitement there that I'm just learning to control and just learning to tunnel vision now and focus on the things that matter, and that is just getting to the ring 100% the best person I can be on the night.
In cricket, Ireland made a blistering start to their second group game against Sri Lanka at the T20 World Cup earlier today. They reduced the side that are ranked 10th in the world to 8 for 3 at one stage, but the Sri Lankans recovered to make 171 for the loss of 7 from their 20 overs. Ireland are batting at the moment. They sit on 20 for the loss of 2, so the Irish require 152 runs with 100 balls remaining in their 20 overs. Elsewhere in that group, Namibia beat the Netherlands today by 6 wickets. Finally, we're just going to go back to that Europa League tie. Leicester City away from home in Russia taking on Moscow. There are 3 minutes in the time added on at the end of the tie. Leicester still leading by 4-3 against Spartak. And that's your sport for today. Michaela, back with more tomorrow morning.
Thanks, Oisin. And returning to some news, the Road Safety Authority has warned that it will take months to clear the current driving test waiting list. Over 1,800 people are currently waiting for a driving test appointment in Donegal. According to Freedom of Information figures, Letterkenny has the longest waiting list in the county, with 972 people waiting, followed by Donegal with 552 and Buncrana at 303. Nationally, nearly 58,000 people are waiting to sit a test. Brian Farrell from the Road Safety Authority says it will take several months to clear the backlog.
We're hoping to be in a situation where we're at a national average waiting time of around 12 weeks in February of next year. and that will go some way towards providing driving tests within a reasonable period. At the height of the closure of the service, we were telling people that they would be expecting waiting times of anything up to 6 months or more. So we are making progress.
13 counties are to benefit in a share of almost 5 million euro in funding under the Healthy Community Programme. The funding will be used to deliver increased health and wellbeing services in 19 different communities. They include the Gaeltacht and Inishowen areas in Donegal. Minister for Public Health and Wellbeing Frank Feehan says the funding will be used for social prescribing.
Sometimes people may clog up doctors, GPs, and they're going to the GP, and social prescribing gets them out into the community, maybe out to visit farms, to work with many, many other initiatives. And I found that it builds up friendships. Maybe they've realised, and the GPs working together, that there's other ways of dealing with these very, very complex issues.
Bright to begin this evening with scattered showers. Cloud will increase, bringing outbreaks of rain for a time. Cold tonight with lowest temperatures of 4 to 7 degrees. And just have a look at the closing headlines. Waiting a few more weeks for a MICA redress scheme is acceptable if it means it will be right. That's according to Agriculture Minister Charlie McConlogue, who spoke to 50 children from across Donegal today. Well, the Taoiseach has accused Sinn Féin of being self-righteous over the MICA scandal. Micheál Martin says while Sinn Féin are banging the drum now, there wasn't one mention of a MICA redress scheme in the party's 2020 election manifesto. 63 deaths related to COVID-19 have been reported to the Department of Health over the past week. 2,148 new cases have been detected, while there's 464 people in hospital. And the Justice Minister in the North is being urged to carry out a review of legislation as it's claimed 5 people have their drinks spiked in Derry. A mother raised awareness this week after her daughter told of the alleged incidents, which are believed to have happened in a bar in the city over the weekend. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notice is for this Wednesday evening, October the 20th. The death has taken place of Charles Oliver, Charlie McDade of Ashgrove Park, Altnagalvin. Requiem Mass will be celebrated in St Mary's Church, Ardmore, on Friday morning at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. House is strictly private, please. Family flowers only, donations if wished, to Foyle Hospice, 61 Culmore Road. The death has taken place of Charlie Neeson, 67 Parkside Gardens, Sion Mills. Funeral leaving his home on Friday afternoon at 20 past 1 for Requiem Mass in St Teresa's Church at Sion Mills at 2 o'clock. Cremation afterwards in Lakelands Crematorium. Requiem Mass can be viewed live on the parish webcam, churchmedia.tv/camera/ St Teresa's Church at Sion Mills Donegal webcam. The death has occurred of John Joseph Doherty, Block 5, Porthall, County Donegal. John's remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 20 past 10, going to St Patrick's Church, Murlock, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers welcome or and donations if desired to Little Angels School and Donegal Down Syndrome Association, care of any family member or Kelly's funeral directors. The death has taken place of Peggy Duffy, Main Street, Kilmacrenan. Remains are reposing at her home, wake private to family and close friends. Requiem Mass tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock in St. Columba's Church, Kilmacrenan. Burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed on Kilmacrenan Parish Facebook page. Family flowers only. The death has taken place of Tommy Devine, 6 Clarendon Street, Derry, and formerly of 322 Lisnar Road, Plumbridge. Funeral leaving the family home, 322 Lisnar Road, tomorrow afternoon at 20 past 12 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Ahi Brac, at 1 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Chest, Heart and Stroke, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via Donaghadee Parish YouTube. and the death has taken place of Kathleen Diver, 239 Ballycommon Estate, Strabane. Fiona leaving her home tomorrow morning at 9:20 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 10 o'clock, interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers placed to Chest, Heart and Stroke, Kev Quigley Funeral Directors. The house will be private to family, neighbours and close friends only, please. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam at melmountparish.com/webtv.